Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, EQMM's editor. This month we present a reading of one of the scripts used in the radio show The Adventures of Ellery Queen, which was broadcast first on CBS and then on NBC Radio in the late 1930s and the 1940s. In this clever play, most of the series regulars from the Ellery Queen novels appear, but the star, of course, is Ellery. As all readers of his day would have known, Ellery Queen was both the pseudonym used by authors Frederick Denay and Manfred B. Lee for the best-selling books, short stories, and radio scripts in the series, and the name of the central character of the series, a mystery writer sleuth with a police inspector father. The Adventure of the Man Who Could Double the Size of Diamonds, which was reprinted in EQMM twice, in May 1943 and in August 2005, is read for us here by Mark Legacy.
The Adventure of the Man Who Could Double the Size of Diamonds by Ellery Queen. The characters are Ellery Queen, the detective, Nicky Porter, his secretary, Inspector Queen, his father, Sergeant Veely, of Inspector Queen's staff, Professor Lazarus, an inventor, Kenyon, an American diamond dealer, Van Houten, a Dutch diamond dealer, Bryce, a British diamond dealer, Massé, a French lapidary, and Dr. Cook, the examining physician. Scene 1, Kenyon's office at Maiden Lane. Lazarus speaks. And in my wonderful new diamond manufacturing process, why are you laughing, Mr. Kenyon? You're an inventor, you say, Professor Lazarus? Inventor, chemist, physicist, explorer into the hidden secrets of nature. Yes, Mr. Kenyon, a man of pure science. Pure science. That's why I've come to you first, Mr. Kenyon. You're one of the leading diamond experts on Maiden Lane.
Thank you, Professor. And you say you can manufacture diamonds?
It's a colossal discovery. Are you familiar with the experiments of Moissan, changing pure carbon into artificial diamonds?
Oh, come, Professor. Moissan's process has no commercial future. The cost of making the diamonds is considerably more than the diamonds are worth.
True, Mr. Kenyon, that's true, but I've gone far beyond Moissan. My new process will revolutionize the diamond industry and change the financial structure of the world.
Financial? Financial structure of the world? Sorry, Professor Lazarus, I've got a tickle.
Well, they laughed at Leeuwenhoek and Pasteur, and Galileo. Well, laugh. Let them all laugh. They always laugh at a genius.
See here, man. You expect me to believe you've discovered a process by which you can manufacture diamonds at a cost that's not prohibitive? Fairy tales.
Mr. Kenyon, give me a perfect diamond, and in 7 days I'll return it to you twice as large.
The man who could double the size of diamonds.
Now, don't laugh at me. I've done it, I tell you.
Sort of a scientific miracle, eh?
A scientific fact. I've discovered one of nature's secrets, Mr. Kenyon.
Professor Lazarus and Mother Nature Incorporated. How do you intend to accomplish this miracle?
Ha-ha, wouldn't you like to know? But I'll tell you this. It's a complex process based upon the introduction into the molecular structure of perfectly formed natural diamonds of certain chemical elements. Now, don't ask me which ones. I won't tell you. But this process, I can double the size and weight of the original diamond. I've found a way to grow diamonds chemically.
I believe you're really serious.
Serious? I've devoted my whole life to it.
Perhaps I've been hasty, Professor, but why come to me? Why not go it alone?
Because I'm penniless.
My life's savings have gone into perfecting the formula and developing the apparatus. I need financial backing, Mr. Kenyon. I should say you need raw material. In this case, perfect diamonds. Didn't you say you've got to start with natural diamonds? Yes, Mr. Kenyon. Now, look. I don't blame you for being skeptical. You're a businessman, so I don't expect you to take me on faith. You mean you're actually prepared to demonstrate your process, Professor? Oh, of course, Mr. Kenyon. Under any conditions I may impose on you. Absolutely any conditions. Professor Lazarus, be back here tomorrow.
Scene 2. The same next day. Van Houten speaks.
And I say it is all poppycock.
Kenyon.
It won't hurt to look, will it, Van Houten?
Bryce.
Kenyon's right, Van Houten. You've been stuck away in that Amsterdam diamond exchange of yours for so long you've grown barnacles. Take a chance, old boy.
All right, I take a chance, Mr. Bryce. Doubling the size of diamonds. I don't know whether it is to laugh or to cry.
Fine, then you're in with us too, Bryce?
Well, I'm hard to convince, but I am open to proof.
The true British spirit, Kenyon.
Yes, I'm with you and Van Houten. How about you, Monsieur Massey?
Massey speaks.
I am thinking.
Massey is thinking. Do not breathe.
We really need you in this little syndicate we're forming, Massey. As a lapidary, you've no equal. You're better qualified than any of us to detect a possible fraud.
Monsieur Kenyon, it is a bouquet I cannot resist smelling. Gentlemen, Massey enters the syndicate. Mynheer Van Houten, Mr. Bryce, congratulate yourselves.
But to double the size of diamonds, this professor is a fraud. He must be.
I know it sounds like a fantastic idea.
Qui sait? In the 18th century, Le Comte Saint-Germain proved to King Louis XV that not only he could remove flaws from diamonds, but increase the size of pearls.
A legend, Massey. Folklore.
Well, we'll soon see. Personally, I think the man's a quack, Kenyon. Judge for yourselves. Now, we're all agreed on our conditions, gentlemen?
Yes, Wolf. He's here. Send him in. And remember, Wolf, no interruptions.
Thank you. Come in, Professor. I want you to meet some business friends of mine. We've decided to form a little syndicate, just in case. Mynheer Van Houten, the Amsterdam diamond merchant, Mr. Bryce, the London diamond dealer, and Monsieur Massey, the famous lapidary.
A syndicate, eh? Excellent. I'm delighted.
Don't be too delighted, Professor Lazarus. We are a court of examination. No more.
Frankly, Professor, we don't know whether you're the genius you claim to be or a lunatic.
You will find us hard, Professor Lazarus. We do not believe you, but on a million to one chance that you have really stumbled on a new scientific principle.
In a word, we're willing to be shown.
Providing, of course, that the conditions under which the experiment is conducted protect the syndicate against any possibility of loss, Mynheer.
Naturally, Mr. Van Houten. You would be fools not to protect yourselves. All right, then. Professor, do you see the steel safe door and that wall of my office?
Yes, Mr. Kenyon. That safe door leads into Mr. Kenyon's strong room. The strong room is completely lined with steel and has only one means of entrance and exit. The burglar-proof safe door you see there.
In that strong room, mon professeur, you will try to double the size of diamonds.
I understand, but air, I'll need air to breathe.
And my strong room is air-conditioned. Incidentally, I'm having the door combination changed, and only Van Houten, Bryce, Massey, and I will know the new combination.
You comprehend, Professor? Not you. You will be admitted by one of us into the schoolroom each morning and released each night.
You may install your apparatus in the strong room and go to work on our diamonds, Lazarus.
Very fair, gentlemen, but may I make one condition? No one must disturb my work. I refuse to allow anyone to enter that strong room the entire week of my experiment, either while I'm working there during the day or while it's locked up for the night.
Ah, and why is that, Professor?
Obviously, I must protect myself. I can't afford to let anyone learn the secret of my process.
Agreed, then. But we warn you, Monsieur le Professeur, that room will be guarded as if it were the Bank of France.
We should have experienced searches to see that the professor doesn't carry off our diamonds some night after his day's work. How about four detectives from police headquarters? Two to stand guard outside the strong room all day, two all night.
And each night when you leave the strong room, Lazarus, you will be searched from head to foot.
Monsieur Thomas, that I insist on.
And to leave utterly nothing to chance, gentlemen, I suggest we have a trustworthy physician in attendance to complete the nightly search. You see, Professor, we're taking no chances. Since we're each lending you a valuable diamond to experiment on, take my word for it, you won't get the slightest opportunity to steal them.
Steal? I'm a scientist, not a thief.
Very well. We start tomorrow when I bring my apparatus in. But remember, absolute secrecy. If the world learned of what we can do, the value of diamonds would be ruined forever. Tomorrow, each of you have a perfect diamond for me in Mr. Kenyon's office, and I promise you in 1 week, your four diamonds will have grown to twice their present size. Like the Count of Monte Cristo, in 1 week, you'll be able to cry, "The world is mine!"
Scene 3. The Queen apartment, a week later.
And then, Mr. Queen, Professor Lazarus went to work in my strong room at the office.
Ellery Queen speaks.
Amazing. Amazing story, Mr. Kenyon.
Inspector Queen speaks.
So that's why you asked for the services of four of my detectives a week ago, Mr. Kenyon? Weren't you gentlemen a little plastered when Lazarus turned on his highfalutin gas?
Nicky Porter speaks.
Why, it's fantastic. An Arabian Nights story.
Why did you bring your friend Dr. Crook with you, Mr. Kenyon? No offense, Doctor, just curiosity.
Dr. Crook is the physician who's been examining Lazarus every night when he quits the strong room.
Dr. Crook speaks.
Would have refused anyone but Kenyon, Mr. Queen. Old friends, but of all the nonsense. Wait until you hear the end of this.
In the week that's passed since the professor began his mysterious work in my strong room, we've taken every precaution against fraud, Mr. Queen. Well, this afternoon at 5, we let the professor out as usual. 7th day, his time was up. Well, we demanded, show us your diamonds twice as large. The professor was nervous.
Doubling the size of diamonds.
Of course he failed, Mr. Kenyon.
And asked for more time? That would be the natural development.
Exactly what happened. Well, the detectives and we 5 men, we searched him. Dr. Cook here examined him with special care. And then, satisfied the diamonds went on him, we let him go for the night.
And the syndicate went into a huddle.
After an argument, we decided to extend the professor's time a few days. The others left. I went out for dinner. And then I started to worry. Suppose something was wrong. I got the other three into this. They contributed valuable diamonds as well as I. Well, I ran back to my office. The two detectives on night duty let me in. I unlocked the safe door of the strong room and went in.
Don't tell me.
The four diamonds you gave Lazarus to work on.
They were gone from the strong room, Mr. Kenyon?
Vanished. Not a sight of them. I turned that strong room upside down. I tore his apparatus to pieces. Then I called the detectives in. They thought I was crazy, till they saw for themselves.
Seems simple enough, Mr. Kenyon. Professor Lazarus managed to smuggle the diamonds out with him during the past week, perhaps taking one diamond at a time, and your nightly searches just didn't turn up his hiding place.
Impossible, Mr. Queen. We didn't overlook even the most far-fetched hiding place. That's why I stopped to pick up Dr. Cook on my way to see you tonight, after I left messages for Van Houten, Bryce, and Massey that the diamonds were gone.
I give you my word, Mr. Queen, I can't imagine where the fellow could have been hiding those diamonds when he took them out. How about his clothing?
We examined every stitch on his body every night, not only we four, but the detectives too.
The men I put on this job, Ellery, wouldn't slip up on a body search. They're perfectly reliable.
I know. Lazarus must have a hump on his back. A false hump. Or else he's got a hollow wooden leg or something.
No hump, false limp, finger, nothing like that.
How about his hair, Doctor? Has he a beard?
No beard, and the man's as bald as an eagle.
His mouth, Doctor. Did you examine him there?
Lazarus has no teeth of his own. He uses dental plates, which I examined carefully every night. No cavities of any kind. Nor could he have taken the diamonds out in his ears or nasal openings.
A glass eye. I'll bet that's it.
No, Miss Porter. He has two very sound eyes.
Possibly he carried some object out of the strong room in which a diamond might have been concealed? A watch?
No.
Cigarette case?
No. Wallet? It was examined. Tobacco pouch? No, Inspector. A finger ring? No.
A cane? A walking stick that's hollow?
The professor has no stick. I tell you, we examined everything, even his pen and pencil.
Mr. Kenyon, is there a drain or water tap in the strong room?
No opening of any kind, except the air conditioning vent and intake, and they were thoroughly searched.
Then couldn't he have hidden the diamonds inside of him, Dr. Cook?
Excellent question, Nicky. Could he?
I performed every conceivable test that would be conclusive, Mr. Queen. Gastroscope, otoscope, nasal speculum, and so on. If x-rays or fluoroscopes would have helped, I'd have used those too, because Mr. Kenyon and his associates told me to leave absolutely nothing to chance. I give you my word as a medical man, Mr. Queen, Professor Lazarus did not hide those four diamonds anywhere in his body. The phone rings.
I'll answer it, Inspector.
No, I'll take it, Nicky. Possibly headquarters with my men's report of the theft.
Fascinating problem, gentlemen. It appears we're dealing with the most ingenious thief of modern times. We'll have to see you, Professor Lazarus.
Ellery, stop a minute. I can't hear. Hello? Who?
Sergeant Veely speaks on the other end of the line.
Hey, this is Veely, Inspector.
Oh, yes, Veely? Why aren't you home with your wife?
Eh, married to my job, ain't I? Inspector, you'll have to buzz downtown. There's a murder.
Why do they always pick out a man's bedtime? Well, well, Veely, where is it?
Some crummy hotel. The Jolly or Jelly or something on East 24th. Guy was found dead in his room by a chambermaid. Somebody's played chopsticks on his naked skull.
I'll be right down. Identify the corpse yet, Veely?
Oh, sure. Some nut inventor from the papers in his room. Nut inventor? Oh, Veely, what was his name?
You wouldn't know him, Inspector. A phony professor. Let's see now. Lazarus. Professor Lazarus.
Scene 4. A room in a New York hotel later. It's a mean little hotel room, filled with chattering detectives, police, etc.
Hey, say Whitey! Inspector's calling for that fingerprint report.
What?
Oh, that's nice. The old man'll love that. Hey, Joe, ain't you through mugging this stiff? Get pictures of the struggle. Bloody lamp, overturned chairs, torn clothes. Man, what a brawl this must have been.
Really, where's Prouty? Quiet, men.
Quiet, you hyenas. Doc Prouty's gone already, Inspector. Nothing sensational, he says. Guy just died from those blows on the head while he was fighting with his killer. Happened tonight.
Well, that's very helpful. Ellery, did you see this?
What, Dad? Oh, sorry. Ellery Queen, you don't seem the least bit interested. What is it, Inspector? Oh, what a beautiful diamond.
Yeah, my old woman give a right eye for a sparkler like that. Where'd you find it, Inspector?
In Lazarus's right hand. Mr. Kenyon.
Hey, Kenyon, over here, Mr. Kenyon. Watch it. Don't step on his hand.
Oh, did I? I mean, for heaven's sake, this is awful. Awful.
Kenyon, do you recognize this diamond?
It's Bryce's. The diamond Bryce contributed to the syndicate for the professor's experiment.
That settles it. Only Van Houten, Bryce, Massey, and Kenyon knew about Lazarus's experiment. Even the detectives on day and night duty didn't know what was going on.
So it must have been one of the syndicate that bumped off the dead con man.
One of us? Don't... One of us?
One of you four men came to the professor's hotel room tonight, caught him with the stolen diamonds, and tried to take them away. Lazarus fought back and was beaten to death with this heavy metal table lamp. Murderer grabbed the diamonds and beat it.
But in the excitement, he overlooked one of the diamonds, the one in the dead man's hand.
Or maybe he thought he'd taken all four and didn't find out it was only three until he got away. Then he was scared to come back.
But the big question is, which of the four members of the syndicate killed Professor Lazarus?
What do you think, Ellery?
Three secrets may have died with Lazarus. First, the secret of his diamond doubling process, whose authenticity I doubt. Second, the secret of his murderer's identity. In this well-lighted room, after a considerable struggle, Lazarus must certainly have recognized his assailant. And third, the secret of how Lazarus managed to spirit those diamonds out of Kenyon's strong room, past the suspicious eyes and searching hands of the four owners of the diamonds, two experienced detectives, and a medical doctor.
It's enough to make you dizzy. I can't imagine.
At the moment, neither can I, Nicky. I confess, I'd rather know how Lazarus accomplished the thefts than who murdered him.
Yeah, you would.
Really?
Yeah, Inspector?
Rondo Van Houten, Bryce. And that French whatever he is, Massé. Get him down here on the double, and we'll go over him, lightly.
Let me slap on the hot towel.
Ellery, you can play around with the mystery of how Professor Lazarus stole those diamonds. I want to know who beat him to death.
Scene 5. The same. Later. Inspector Queen is grilling the suspects. Bryce is saying,
"Yes, that is my diamond, Inspector."
The others demand the return of the property.
"Murderers got him. I want to know where you men were tonight. Bryce?"
"Well, I was out strolling, returned to my hotel, found Kenyon's message that the diamonds had been stolen. I thought it was a joke."
"Mynheer Van Houten, you were in the park writing poetry, I suppose?"
"I go back to my New York office. Later, I go back to my hotel, and I find Kenyon's message."
"So, you've no alibi either. How about you, Monsieur Massey?"
"I too, Monsieur l'Inspecteur, I returned to my office on Maiden Lane, and I too later find Monsieur Kenyon's message about the theft of the diamonds."
"Yeah, for a bunch of businessmen, these guys were sure pushovers for that con man Lazarus."
"Yes, Sergeant, and the professor would have got away with it too if one of them hadn't gone to his hotel, killed him, and stolen the diamonds himself."
"Hush, Nicky, let Dad handle this."
"I know, Ellery, but such deceit, such bloodthirstiness. They're all trying to look so innocent."
"I want back my diamond. Get it back, I say."
"Mais tu presses, you are fortunate. Your diamond was left behind. But mine,
But how did he do it? I can't understand it.
There's a lot of things I can't understand. Hold it, you four. Ellery, come here a minute.
Yes, Dad?
Any ideas?
Dad, I'm baffled. Baffled. It's an impossible crime.
What's impossible about it? No tricks to this murder. All we have to do is find the murderer.
I don't mean the murder, Dad. I mean Lazarus' theft of the diamonds from Kenyon's strongroom. I shan't sleep until I find out how he smuggled them past 7 searchers.
Hang it, son. This is a murder case, not a puzzle.
This time you handle the murder, Dad. I'll take the puzzle. I've got to figure out how the professor did it.
Scene 6. The Queen apartment, next morning.
And your check of the alibis, Vili?
Yeah, what do you mean, alibis? Van Houten and Massett claiming they were working in Maiden Lane, but no one saw them? Price taking a walk all by his lonely?
Oh, good morning, Miss Porter. Morning, Nicky.
Good morning. My, such gloomy faces. No luck on the murder, Inspector Queen?
I guess luck will be our only hope of solving it at that, Nicky. Ellery's no help.
He has been acting remote. Where is he this morning?
Oh, the mastermind's in his bedroom, pounding the floor like an expected papa. Ellery didn't sleep a wink all night, Nicky. Yeah, if you ask me, for once in his life, the maestro stumped. Aha, he enters.
Good morning, everybody.
Come on, son, have some breakfast. You must be all tuckered out after last night.
Forget it, Mr. Queen. You can't hit the jackpot every time.
Ellery Queen, you're grinning. Inspector, Sergeant, he knows something.
Certainly I know something. I've spent 10 sleepless hours figuring it out.
And just what is it you've been puzzling over, Mr. Queen?
How Lazarus managed to smuggle those diamonds past 7 searchers. I thought of every conceivable way in which he could have stolen the diamonds. Dad, I've solved the puzzle of the theft.
Fine, now you can start solving the puzzle of the murder.
Yes, I'm sure I'm right. It's the only possible answer. I know how those diamonds got out of the strong room.
Okay, Mr. Queen, so you win the puzzle's championship of the world, but for crying out loud. How about the murder? Ellery, we've got to know who murdered Lazarus.
Oh, that? I know that too. Ellery Queen has just said that he knows how the diamonds got out of Kenyon's strongroom, and also who murdered Professor Lazarus. Do you? You can have some additional fun by stopping here and trying to solve the double mystery before Ellery reveals the solution. Naming the criminal is not sufficient if you play the game fairly. You must get the correct reasoning, too. Now, let's hear Ellery Queen's own solution to The Adventure of the Man Who Could Double the Size of Diamonds.
Scene 7. The same immediately after.
We're losing time, Ellery. Tell me who murdered Lazarus.
To do that, Dad, I'll have to begin with the theft of the diamonds.
Oh, there he goes again.
The man with the one-track mind.
But it's the heart of this case, children. How did Professor Lazarus get those diamonds past 7 searchers? The 4 owners, the 2 detectives, and the doctor. I saw no light until I asked myself one tremendously simple, one gigantically obvious question. Was it really Professor Lazarus who took those diamonds out of the strong room?
Oh dear, that's the answer.
Yes, Nicky. A score of facts proved that not only didn't Lazarus take those diamonds out, he couldn't. It was impossible for Lazarus to have smuggled them past the 7 men, and you can't find the answer to an impossibility. Therefore, Lazarus wasn't the thief. Someone else must have been.
But Ellery, only Professor Lazarus entered that strong room all week, a condition he'd laid down himself before he began working there.
Yes, but is it true no one else entered that strong room? It is not true, because one other person did go in there before the diamonds were reported gone, and, by his own admission, was in there alone. And what's more, when he left the office, he knew he wouldn't be searched because they were all protecting themselves against Lazarus. Therefore, I knew that the only other person known to have been in the strong room alone must be the thief. And who was that person? Kenyon. It was Mr. Kenyon.
Sure, Kenyon himself told us he returned to his office last night, worried that something was wrong, that the detectives on guard let him in, that he went into the strong room alone, and the detectives didn't rush in there until he yelled the diamonds were gone.
Boy, that's masterful. Kenyon goes in, swipes the ice himself, then comes out, holler he's been robbed, beats it over to the professor's hotel room, kills the old guy, screams, hide the diamonds, then picks up Dr. Cook and brings him to you, Mr. Queen, to back up his story about how they hard they searched Lazarus.
Yes, and in giving us that story, he brilliantly distracted our attention from himself and directed it towards Lazarus as the thief. Quite a psychologist, Kenyon. One of the cleverest rogues in my experience. He devised a theft of such colossal simplicity that I was nearly taken in by the complicated props.
Then Professor Lazarus wasn't a confidence man at all. Could he double the size of diamonds, Ellery?
Well, he didn't, Nicky, so I imagine the poor fellow was just an earnest crank who thought he'd solve one of the riddles of the universe.
Wasn't it foolish of Kenyon to overlook the diamond in the professor's dead hand, Bryce's diamond?
Overlook it? Nicky, Kenyon left that diamond there purposely, for the same reason he killed Lazarus, to clinch the illusion that it was Professor Lazarus who'd stolen the diamonds in the first place.
Wait a minute, Ellery. Granted, Kenyon was the only one who could have taken the diamonds out of the strong room. How does that prove he also killed Lazarus?
Yeah, why couldn't it have been one of the other guys who bumped off the professor?
Kenyon's magic spell is still on you. Don't you see? The murderer planted one of the four diamonds in the victim's hand. To leave a diamond in the victim's hand meant that the murderer had to have that diamond. Who had the diamonds? The thief. Therefore, the thief must have been the murderer. And who is the only possible thief? Kenyon. Conclusion, Kenyon is the murderer.
QED.
Gosh, Inspector, why can't we figure him out so nice and clean?
Vili, I've been trying to answer that question ever since I became a father.
The Adventure of the Man Who Could Double the Size of Diamonds and all of the Ellery Queen characters are copyrighted by the Frederick Denae and Manfred B. Lee Literary Property Trusts. Music for this podcast by Andre Previn is in the public domain and was obtained from the Community Audio section of the Internet Archive. Mixing for the podcast was done by Jackie Sherbo. You can find more work by Ellery Queen in e-editions of the novels and short story collections from Mysterious Press, Open Road. And don't forget to visit EQMM's website at www.themysteryplace.com/EQMM, where you can subscribe and get more of the best in crime and mystery fiction.